access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I remember a story, and I probably won't get it totally correct. I'm not going to tell you where it happened. It was somewhere out west. A guy had this gold mine, and he was digging for gold, and didn't really get much of anything. And he finally just decided to sell it. It's just, you know, it's not worth it. Guy bought it, and he was within inches, I think it was, of the biggest gold mine in America. Within inches. What happened? He grew weary in the work, and he gave up. And that was a lesson for me. Don't ever give up. Don't grow weary. Continue on. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the fruit that's going to be born from this. God does, because he knows everything. And what does he tell me? Don't grow weary. Your labor's not in vain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And he's coming back. Oh, yeah. Changes everything. So patience in nature, learning that, leads to the next point, perspective for patience. And again, it deals with the Lord's return. Look at verse 8 of James 5. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Isn't perspective important? And having the right perspective, the correct perspective, is truly important. You know, as you listen to the news, as you read the newspapers, you think everything is a mess. There's nothing good. The world's coming to an end. You know, I guess it is. God's word tells us, but not like the world is telling us. What they're saying is not true. And I realize this is tough. Some of you may be thinking, you know, what are you talking about? Do you know what's going on in the Middle East with Syria, Russia, Iran? Do you see Turkey, how they turned against Israel now, just as the scriptures say? Part of Ezekiel's 38 and 39 invasion against Israel. Do you see the wickedness in this country? Do you see how the church is compromising what they believe and embracing Roman Catholicism now, the Protestant church, for a one-world religion? Our nation working to become part of a one-world government. Things are a mess, Pastor Joe. What's wrong with you? The Lord's coming back. You know, if that's the one thing you take from the lesson this morning, the Lord is coming back, that's a pretty big one, isn't it? Oh, yeah, there's my perspective. This is bad, but he's coming back. So my hope is in him, that no matter what happens out here, he's going to see me through. And maybe for some of us, the reason we're in such turmoil regarding everything that is going on is because we haven't established that in our hearts. He's coming back. He's going to take care of all the injustices that have taken place and will take place. Things are not out of control. They are going according to the plans of God found in the Word of God, and that gives us the correct perspective. And I'm not saying we don't grieve over the things we see, but things aren't always going to be like they are now. And there's only two things. Either the Lord's going to return before we die, or we're going to die and go to be with Him one day. Either way, is it a win-win situation? Absolutely it is. Perspective. It's a perspective. All believers are headed for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord for that, right? I mean, that changes everything. Spurgeon said, "When God shall give you a rich return for all you have done for Him, you will blush to think you ever doubted. You will be ashamed to think you ever grew weary in His service. You shall have your reward. Not tomorrow, so wait. Not the next day, perhaps, so be patient. You may be full of doubts one day. Your joys sink low. It may be rough, windy weather with you in your spirit. You may even doubt whether you are the Lord's. But if you have rested in the name of Jesus, if by the grace of God you are what you are, if He is all your salvation and all you desire, have patience, for the reward will surely come in God's good time." Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's coming back. In fact, that phrase, the coming of the Lord, coming is the Greek word parousa. It speaks of His arrival, not the rapture of the church, but His coming back to establish His kingdom. And that should just make sense. Because when the judge of all the earth returns, when He comes back, He's going to establish His kingdom on this earth, and righteousness will fill this land. The problem comes when things heat up and our response is, like James tells us, grumble against one another. And he says, do not do that. Do not grumble against one another, brother, unless you be condemned. When things heat up, when tough times come, when pressure increases in our lives, we're critical of one another. We groan and complain. And yes, we can grumble against the brethren. If we're doing that, I'm sure we're grumbling against the unsaved as well. We're just grumbling. What's the perspective? Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You see, we're all going to appear, all believers are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. One writer put it like this. He said, James was writing to people in such a miserable state that they were easily at each other's throats. Close pressure had made them jumpy and quick to take offense. This had to stop. So James focused the imminency of Christ's return on the problem. For Christ's imminent return meant that Christ, the great judge of all, was right at the door. Amen to that. You know, have a correct perspective of things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look up because he's coming. Be patient. You know, we have seen patience in nature. Now, this correct perspective for patience. Here comes the judge, you might say. And now James is going to share with us examples of patience. It's always good to see examples to encourage us in the faith. Look at James 5, verses 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. You know, life is not easy, guys, and we can lose perspective so quickly. You know, we may be so battered and beaten up that we're, you know, singing, you know, nobody knows the trouble I've been through. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? And we just end there. That's it. Lost all hope. It's over. And we keep going down and down and down because we lost that hope. Let me say this. That's not how the song goes completely. That's what we remember. Isn't it interesting? That's what we remember of the song. Nobody knows this trouble I've seen. It's bad. Well, I'll share with you how the song goes. Nobody knows the trouble I've been through. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Is that interesting? Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm almost to the ground. Oh, yes, Lord. Although you see me going long so, oh, yes, Lord. I have my trials here below. Oh, yes, Lord. If you get there before I do, oh, yes, Lord. Tell all my friends I'm coming to heaven. Oh, yes, Lord. Wow, what a great perspective to have, huh? Again, you know, we just know the bad parts of the song, the sorrows, the troubles I've seen. It's so bad. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, Lord, I'm coming home one day. The correct perspective. If we take that out about the Lord, we lose all hope. And James is reminding us, hey guys, remember the Old Testament prophets? Remember the things they had to endure in their life, the sufferings they had, the hardships, and yet they endured until the end. And James, again, giving us these examples to help us in our walk with the Lord, to mature in the faith, to grow. And he's basically saying, you know, hey guys, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know the persecution is growing. Hang in there. And not only is the Lord coming back, but look at the examples of the prophets and what they endured for their faith. May that be an encouragement to you. I mean, think about Jeremiah. You know, I always feel bad for Jeremiah. I know a lot of people feel bad for Job. He had a rough life, and James talks about him. But Jeremiah was a tough guy. 40 years of ministry, right? What did he get out of it? Did you ever think about that? He was put in stocks. He was thrown into prison. He was put in a muddy dungeon. And in the end, no one listened to him. They mocked him. And yet he persevered in the ministry until the end. You know, it's interesting because, you know, the health, wealth, and prosperity teachers love to focus on the Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. Just wonderful things. But they leave out what other prophets, what other men of God and women of God had to endure. In verses 35 through 38 of Hebrews 11, This is what we're told. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And James is telling us, go back, guys. You're Jews. You know the scriptures. Look at what the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament men and women, what they endured for their faith in the true and living God. And then he talks about Job, you know, who lost his business, his livestock, his servants, his family, and finally his health. He lost it all. And yet God wasn't punishing him. God was teaching him lessons of faith through this as he suffered. He was testing his faith. In fact, in Job 42, verses 10 through 13, and then verses 16 through 17, this is what we're told. The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintance before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 16 says, and after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. God was compassionate and merciful to him. You know, sometimes persecution ends when the Lord brings us home. And again, we don't lose anything. We're with the Lord. That's the perspective we had to have. For Job, God ended up blessing him. But that's the blessing of going home to be with him is a blessing also, right? Warren Wiersbe kind of sums it all up. I love what he says about this example of Job. The book of Job is a long book, and the chapters are filled with speeches that, to the Western mind, seem long and tedious. In the first 3 chapters, you have Job's distress. He loses his wealth, his family, except for his wife, and she told him to commit suicide. Thanks, hon. And his health. In Job 4 verses, or chapter 4 through chapter 31, we read Job's defense as he debates with his 3 friends and answers their false accusations. In Job 38 through 42 presents Job's deliverance. First God humbles Job and then he honors Job and gives him twice as much as he had before. In studying the experience of Job, it's important to remember that Job did not know what was going on behind the scenes between God and Satan. Job's friends accused him of being a sinner and a hypocrite. There must be some terrible sin in your life, they argued, or God would never have permitted this suffering. Job disagreed with them and maintained his innocence, but not perfection, during the entire conversation. The friends were wrong. God had no cause against Job, and in the end, God rebuked the friends for telling lies about Job. It's difficult to find a greater example of suffering than Job. Circumstances were against him, for he lost his wealth and his health. He also lost his beloved children. His wife was against him. She said, curse God and die. His friends were against him. They accused him of being a hypocrite, deserving the judgment of God. And it seemed like God was against him. When Job cried out for answers to his questions, there was no reply from heaven. And yet he endured. Satan predicted that Job would get impatient with God, abandon his faith, and it didn't happen. And yet, Job questioned God's will, but Job didn't forsake his faith in the Lord. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. And you got to love that about this man named Job. He persevered to the end. What a great example. David, in Psalm 27, 13 and 14, said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wow, what a great perspective to have. I would have lost heart if I didn't believe that I would see goodness come from God. Isn't that true? I mean, if we felt that God's done, what hope would there be? There would be absolutely none. But I know God is going to show goodness towards us. His will is going to be done in our lives. And boy, that's great encouragement. Correct perspective. The goodness of God. And in the end, He's coming back. And so perspective is everything. And the example of men and women of God in the Bible and really onward can encourage us in the faith to endure until the end. And James ends this section, patience seen in how we live, in verse 12 of James chapter 5. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. These words are very similar to what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Why was that such a big deal? Because like today, many say that they're going to do something and in the end they don't do it. And for the Jews, many Jewish people at the time James wrote this letter had made distinctions between binding oaths and non-binding oaths. Very good at that. You see, if you didn't include the name of God in your oath, it wasn't binding. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'll do that. And you got your fingers crossed, your toes crossed, your legs crossed, everything crossed. That's a lie. And that's what James is condemning, those kind of oaths. And I think, well, what in the world does that have to do with what we've been talking about here in James? How does this relate to patience that we see in nature, or having the correct perspective of patience, or even examples of patience in the scriptures? And what does speaking oaths have to do with the problem of suffering even? Maybe James is referring back to what he was saying in the beginning of this chapter when he spoke about the wealthy who caused the poor, those who were working for them, they didn't pay them. And so these poor people didn't have any money. They couldn't buy food. It was horrible. They took advantage of them. Even when they were taken to court to get their money, these rich people paid the judge off and they lost the case. And so we can hurt others when we say we're going to do something and we don't. We got to keep our word. And here's the thing. Why in the world does a person have to swear to make an oath? Why does one have to say, I swear to God I'm going to do this? Because they're liars. That's the only way. If your yes can't be yes and your no, no, if you have to say, I swear to God I'm going to do it, that's a red flag to me. Okay? When you tell someone you're going to do something, you do it. As Christians, we should have the best work ethics in the world. And what James is basically saying is, look, in the light of the Lord's return, live a life of integrity. You should be different than the world, right? Do what you say, do it because the righteous judge is coming back. You know, John in 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3 said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Again, look at all that God has done for us. His love that He pours upon our lives, that we are His children, and God is working in us to make us more like Him. And He's coming back. So live your life accordingly. Let people see the love of God in you. You know, having our yes be yes, our no be no, it's just simple, isn't it? Why do we make it complicated? That was one thing that my dad always taught me growing up. You know, when he worked for the post office for many, many years, and he also did side jobs. He was really good building things. I lost that gene. You're laughing? No, but I did lose that gene. I don't know what happened to it. It's gone somewhere, but I cannot. I can, if someone tells me how to do something, I can pretty much do it. But yeah, I just don't have that ability. But my dad, if he's quote a price, say, yeah, I can do this for you for this amount of money, that's the amount of money he did. He, if it cost him more, that was his loss. When, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, and he would take some side jobs, and in the evening he would clean office buildings. And I think it must have been on a Friday night he would take me, because the school nights, it got pretty late. And the one thing I noticed, man, this guy worked hard. It didn't matter that there was no one else in the building. And that was really scary, being a young kid, the only one in an office building. And that's when you could smoke in the office. So ashtrays, cigarette butts, everywhere, right? My dad, everything was clean. He took great honor in the work he did. Well, shouldn't that be us as Christians? Absolutely. When people see our work, they should be as, wow. Let our yes be yes, our no be no. The Lord's coming back. Don't you want to be honoring Him when He comes back? Absolutely. So, as I close this morning, we have looked at patience in nature and how the farmer has to be patient and work hard. He has to prepare the soil and plant the seeds, wait for the rains, and then wait for the harvest. And we do the same as we're out in this world ministering to the people. Patience, or a perspective of patience. The Lord's coming back. The world's passing away, and our eyes need to be on the eternal. All the persecution, all the difficulty we face in this life is short-lived. The judge is coming, and he's going to deal with the injustices that have been perpetrated upon mankind. And think about how fast life is going by. Do you know next week is August? What happened? It was like a blink. I mean, I'm thinking, I got to work on the prophecy update for New Year's Eve, because it'll be here before I know it. And guys, get ready for Vacation Bible School, right? That's how fast things are going. It's so crazy. It's like we're in a time warp. Lord's coming back. Examples of patience? Man, Job and the many, the Old Testament, New Testament, men and women of God, how they endured. I mean, I look at Paul and I'm just amazed at all that he went through. And his focus, he knew where he was going. He's going home to be with the Lord. His focus was always bringing the gospel message. He was in Lystra. He was stoned to death. They killed him. He was there on the ground. I believe he was dead. And then all of a sudden, God brought him back. And he got up. And I'm sure that, you know, the men who were around him looking at him, his fellow believers were like, oh my gosh, we got to get you out of here, Paul. No, I'm going back into the city. How do you stop a guy like that? You can't. Because he's so focused on the Lord that nothing is going to stop him. That should be us. And lastly, we looked at patience is seen in how we live. That we're honest people and we do what we say we're going to do. And what a witness of the Lord to others that is. Because he's coming back. I'll just share this story with you, and then I promise I will close. It's a story that Harry Hines tells regarding former President John F. Kennedy. He said, during his 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy often closed his speeches with the story of Colonel Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. On May 19, 1780, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously, and some of the representatives, glancing out the windows, feared the end was at hand. Quelling a clamor of immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought. Rather than fearing what was to come, we are to be faithful till Christ returns. Instead of fearing the dark, we're to be lights as we watch and wait." Absolutely. You know, the day of judgment is coming, whether people believe it or not. Do you really think, oh, well, no one believes that I'm coming back, so I won't? Are you kidding me? He said he's coming back. That's just the way it is. And thus, we should want to live out our faith in such a way that it not only blesses people, but it honors the Lord. You see, no matter what, guys, no matter what we are going through, no matter how difficult it may be, our faith endures, right? Our faith endures. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for that. We pray that our faith would endure to the very end. Lord, our heart's desire is to honor you in all that we do, to have the patience, Father, keeping our eyes on you, knowing that the world is a difficult world. But Lord, you're with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And we're so thankful for that. And Lord, help us to honor you in our words, our actions, that people see your love in our lives, that the fruit of spirit would flow, not the works of the flesh. We love you so much, and we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.